And welcome into hour two of the game. John Kurtz with you here on what's a choppy, interesting edition of the game today. We are patchworking it together as best we can for you. A little K-State baseball cutting in early. Corey helping fill in with Tyler out sick. I'm traveling to Manhattan High basketball along with Brady Bowman. Mitch Fortner is out doing K-State baseball. So really, we're spread very, very thin here today, but I did want to check in with you guys a little bit and offer up some thoughts on what's going on with K-State basketball right now, which is obviously quite a bit. It has been an eventful week for Wildcat Hoops. We'll get to some Twitter responses from people. I was trying to gauge everybody's interest on Twitter after the game on Thursday about seemingly this is the point now for a lot of people, the breaking point where they absolutely want change. There have been little moments throughout the season where that seemingly has been the case. I mean, really, every single home loss that's been in this four-game stretch where they've lost four in a row in Bramlage for the first time since Tom Asbury in 2000, you know, with every single one of those, it seems like there's been more and more momentum. But we have had some road wins in between there, the Baylor game, the Texas game, that I think have at least kept some people on board, some people still alive. But losing a four straight, losing another game at home, losing it to Brad Underwood, a guy who is a coach that really seemingly would fit perfectly here. A lot of people wanted. A lot of people were very upset he went to Oklahoma State. And, oh, by the way, he's making about half as much as Bruce Weber as well and now has his team in a better position than K-State right now. I think all those factors combined have led to that seemingly being the line, the last line that everybody is drawing in the sand. And, you know, it was not just reflected with the fans on social media. It's coming into the press conferences at this point in time as well. So long story short, I wanted to ask and see for people if this was the line in the sand for you, then tell me that. But if not, what was the final line in the sand for you? What was the moment that made you flip over to what side that you're on, which presumably right now is most everybody on the side of wanting some change with K-State men's basketball? And I mean, this all comes with still, by the way, three very winnable games left in the schedule. And I've been bringing this up all week, but I still think there's a good chance we're heading for the awkward, okay, K-State is in the NCAA tournament just barely. Are they going to keep Bruce Weber? People seem to still have made up their mind. So with all that being said, I just want to know from people on Twitter what the moment was for you that made you flip to the point of wanting change. Because I think by any metric right now, that seems to be the majority of the fan base wants some change right now, at least as it stands with potentially at least four games left to play in this season. So we'll get to those responses here in a minute, and I'll walk through. Basically, it took me to an interesting timeline of the Bruce Weber era at K-State, just reading everybody's responses, because we got answers all over the map as far as that is concerned. But you know, part of the reason I tack it like this at this point in time is simply because not only has the tide really turned in terms of popular opinion, but it's now getting to the point where it's seeping into your post-game press conferences and some of the players. Wesley Owundu, after the Texas game, tweeted the "Hey Haters" with a clown emoji. I asked him about it then at the follow-up press conference, and you know, he seemingly admitted these guys are aware of all the chatter that's going on around the program, outside the program, about the future, about the head coach, about the coaching staff, everything that's going on. The players are hearing it. Well, then in the post-game press conference after the loss, Bruce Weber is being asked questions about fans booing him now twice in a row in his post-game radio show, comparisons to the last year or the last 3 years, depending on you know which time frame you choose at Illinois, how similar it is here to there. So it's there whether you like it or not. The big-time hot seat questions are starting to come, and depending on what happens the rest of the year, I mean, I don't think that type of thing is going to stop. So to me, that is significant because it represents just a further and further shift towards, all right, everybody wants change here with the men's basketball program. Now, the interesting part of me in all this has always been, you know, seeing people choose their moments to really flip over to one side or the other. The other big one that I always remember and point back to actually involved Brad Underwood as well, and that was just when he was hired at Oklahoma State. That seemed to be like the final dagger for a lot of people. Why didn't we go out and make this move for a guy who would be the perfect type of coach here? And I get it. I get why people were upset at that point in time, but I don't know why you needed that to make you tip over into, okay, we need change in our men's basketball program. Because there had been plenty of signs that this thing was moving in the wrong direction under Bruce Weber for a long time right now. I mean, they have dropped down in the Big 12 standings every single year that he has been here. And there had been the mass exodus of players. One of the big criticisms of the previous regime was how many players had transferred. You had 9 leave in 3 years under Bruce Weber and a complete just overhaul of the roster after the Marcus Foster group left and everything blew up in the face there. So if you wanted, you know, reason to expect change, feel like there should be change in the men's basketball program, it should not have taken Brad Underwood being hired at Oklahoma State to do that. And I'm sort of in the same boat here where it surprises me that after a season full of inconsistency, a season full of some of the same issues that we've seen throughout the Bruce Weber era continuing to rear their head, that it took losing at Oklahoma State or losing at home to Oklahoma State, excuse me, to be the breaking point for a lot of people. But that does seem to be the case. I got a ton of responses here on Twitter of people talking about what the moment was for them. I mean, there are a lot of people that will claim for them it was when he was hired, and certainly that is point one in time if you're going to talk about the Bruce Weber era and how this got off on the wrong foot. You know, people have had that sentiment since day one, so I got a lot of that on Twitter, certainly from people. But there are other people that have different sorts of opinions on where it was that they turned. KSU underscore fan, who is a very good Twitter respondent, I always enjoy his thoughts. He's pretty thoughtful. He says, February and 4 straight home losses. I gave Bruce one more chance after no Brad last year. I don't need to see any more. And I think that sentiment's shared by a lot of people, and that is going to be the important part here, because there's a good chance that he is making the NCAA tournament. Then it comes down to, are you going to play the process, or are you going to play the results? Because the process is, this team is probably not improved as much as it should, and it's disappointing, and it doesn't look like things are moving in the right direction overall in the grand scheme of things with the program. So do you play that? Do you play the process, or do you play the result? Hey, they made the NCAA tournament. We can't make a change when they made the NCAA tournament. So the more and more that we see that and hear that from people, that's going to make the decision much more interesting. F. Scott Wenzel says, after last year, I decided the last straw would be not making the tournament this year. Hasn't happened yet, but every day gets closer. So there are still some out there who have the thought and sentiment that let's wait and see if he makes the tournament, that's good enough. To me, I would prefer to be more process-based than results-based. Do you feel like the program is moving in the right direction in general? Do you feel like there are going to be more tournament runs to come after this year, or do you feel like this is the peak? This is the three-year peak, and they're not going to be able to recover after losing DJ Johnson. Marcus says last night, and again, those are the people that really, really interest me, why and how last night, this being a couple nights ago now, was the Oklahoma State game was the line in the sand for so many people. Henry says mass transfer, and then as soon as Underwood was thought to be available, I was ready to move on to the right guy. Tons of people were in that camp as well. It seemed like there were a lot at the time that gave a pass, really, for the mass transfer, or at least were pretty understanding of that and willing to give him chance or chances to build back up the roster. Now, the interesting thing with that is that there was a lot of people that felt that way, and then there were a ton of people that were upset when they didn't make a move to go get Brad Underwood last year. Well, you're going to let a guy blow up his roster. You got to give him more than just the next year to build things back up. That's what K-State had really locked themselves into, and they were in a catch-22. You couldn't really go get Brad Underwood. Here's another one. Doug says his body of work is cumulative. He deserves to finish the season, but I couldn't watch the last 8 minutes of the game. Yeah, the last 8 minutes was not fun if you're a K-State fan. It was pretty clear which way that game was going, and K-State didn't have too much left. Now, Doug also voices concern of he feels the chances of getting a better coach are very slim. That's another thing I feel like a lot of people have been saying. And as far as that is concerned, I think if you feel like it's time to move on, I'm never a fan of, well, what could we actually get? The self-deprecating, who are we actually going to go get in here? Because I think at that point, you're not trying. You know, if you feel like you can do better, things can be better, go make the move. But that is how I would see it if I'm in that type of situation with any kind of coach in any program. Grant says the fallout from the Foster debacle was when he decided there needed to be some change, missed the NCAAs that year and gave him a free pass the next season, crippling blow to the program. Obviously, that was crippling blow to the program. One of the more interesting ones that I got here was from Tim, who says his moment was missing the NIT last year and choosing to forego any postseason basketball. I don't understand why foregoing any postseason basketball would do it. I don't think anybody, you know, by the end of last year, it was so gut-wrenching with a lot of close losses and guys having to play so many minutes. I don't think it did anybody really any good. missing the NIT. I suppose if the NIT was a barometer for last year, you could be disappointed. But I think last year was a free pass, like we've discussed earlier on. At Oklahoma last season was one for Scott, which is a very random point in time to decide that that things needed changed. Darren says 2 years ago when he lost control of the team, especially Foster, there was no excuse for how bad that it got. Another question from Jake. My biggest question is who do fans want? Who will make them happy? I think this leads into one of the biggest issues right now, and this is going to be one of the things I think if there is change that will be a big-time determining factor. And it's something that's out of Bruce Weber's control. It's out of the players' control. It's just a fact of what happened and what the situation was here when Bruce Weber took over. There are a lot of people that have not been on board since day one, and the fan base has not been pulling in the same direction since day one. And as things have progressed further and further along in the Bruce Weber era, further and further away from the Big 12 title, that resentment, divide, whatever it is, has become louder and louder. So that's really one of the biggest things I think you can gain if a change is made, and that is just simply that you could conceivably, depending on who the hire is, I think no matter who the hire is, you're going to get more people pulling in the same direction. But you have the potential, if you knock it out of the park in terms of fan excitement, to really get everybody moving in one direction with K-State basketball. And it would probably be a lot less stressful on everybody. I can say that much. Jeff points out the stretch of losing to Texas Southern, Georgia, and at Oklahoma State during the 14-15 season was his point in time. That was a very rough stretch. That was certainly when you knew that that season, the 2014-15 season, was going off the rails. So I can see why that would be your point there. Because that's the linchpin. That's really the turning point of the whole era. There were a lot of expectations for that year. And honestly, the thing I've been most impressed about by the Bruce Weber era the whole time he's been here was going to the tournament in Marcus Foster's freshman year. Losing everybody they did from the Big 12 championship team and regrouping with players that he recruited as the core and the crux of how they made it back to the tournament created a lot of expectations for the next year. And I thought, this thing really looks like it's moving in the right direction, and he may be proving all the doubters wrong. But it was that year when things totally fell off. That's where everything changed and has taken you on this ride that has not been fun over the last couple years. I do appreciate everybody that responded. Seriously, more responses I could even get to on Twitter about where it was that you decided you want to change with the K-State men's basketball program. It seems like that is the general consensus right now, but guess what? You got to go play a very winnable game tomorrow at Oklahoma. And I still think if K-State wins two of the last three here, they're in the tournament. You go 8-10 in the Big 12, I think you're going to be in. Right now, according to Bracketology, they're the last team out. So they're still right on the edge. And I think this will go down to Selection Sunday to see what's going to happen. And I think the chances are still more likely than not that K-State's in the NCAA tournament, but that the popular opinion is that people want a change in the head coach. And that is going to create a very awkward period of time, but also a very interesting period of time to see what does happen. That's basically what I got for you, shooting from the hip after the Oklahoma State loss on Wednesday. You can catch K-State and Oklahoma tomorrow here on K-Man at 5 with pregame starting at 4. You may hear from me again before the game is done from Shawnee Heights High School as we get ready for Manhattan and Shawnee Heights tonight. Well, we're on here with hour two of the game on K-Man.